We have come today to the second part of Lesson 8, entitled Preparing for Marriage, in a series on marriage and family, the second version of these lessons. And in the last lesson, we looked at the fact that marriage is the normal course of life for most men and women. Become and live as a Christian is what, if we're going to have a home that is going to follow the Word of God, that is vitally important, that we become and live as a Christian and do so in the way that the Scriptures teach. That is, becoming a Christian that we can read about in Acts chapters 2 and 8, and then the rest of the New Testament telling us how to live as a Christian. Develop godly friends so that faith may be strengthened, because if we have friends mainly in the world, we will follow those and go back into the world if we do not have strong Christian friends. Learn to provide for your future family and have an honest occupation that does not compromise the will of God and that will not cause us to regularly forsake the worship of God on the first day of the week, on Sunday. Now we look at the fact that we ought to flee fornication and pursue scriptural courtship and lifelong marriage. Instead of being completely carried away by emotions, preparing to be a spouse and selecting a spouse should be a patient, deliberate task that is grounded in the Word of God. That is, not by those things of the world, but is guided by the Word of God. Be very particular in choosing your spouse, your mate, and remember, you are choosing the only one who you will be with for life. And that is vitally important, because many, even among young people, go into marriage and think that marriage can be easily ended and another marriage can begin. That may be legal in many countries, including the United States, but it is not moral and it is not righteous in the sight of God. And it will cause us to be involved many times in marriages that God calls adultery. We are also, make sure you are diligently preparing to be the type of spouse that God would have you to be. That is, men preparing to be the head of their families, providing those physical and material needs and leading in the spiritual training of his home. And women, leaning upon the Word of God to be the submissive wife, possibly supplementing income with a part-time occupation that does not interfere with her primary duties in the home, to manage the home and hopefully to raise children that the family may be blessed to have from God. If possible, choose a future spouse who is a committed, faithful Christian. That is, one who has given time to developing and practicing their faith in God, who has been through trials and is still committed to God. Avoid all situations that might lead to fornication, and that the world sees nothing wrong with fornication, sexual relations outside of a scriptural marriage relationship, and all situations such as alcohol, dancing, worldly singing and entertainment. All of these things that lead to fornication, the world has no problem engaging in, but we should avoid all of these things. Use the time Use the time of courtship to get to know one another, especially whether your faith in God and love for one another is deep and consistent. And so try to worship together, if possible, and within a congregation that is seeking to follow the apostles' teaching, not denominational and traditional teachings. Try to pray with each other. Try to study the Word of God with each other. Try to be around other Christians, even older Christians, with each other, that you may gain knowledge and wisdom from them. Get to know the person as much as possible before committing to a lifelong marriage. Do not place physical appearance and attraction above committed faith in God. It is that committed faith in God that is most important. And when things go hard in the marriage, which they will, financially or other ways, then it is that faith in God and love for the other based upon a self-sacrificing example of Jesus that will carry us through those difficult times. Scriptural marriage is for life. It is a serious matter. Matthew 19, verses 3 through 6. Some Pharisees came to Jesus, testing him and asking, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason at all?" Today, the answer is yes. Even among the Jewish people, the answer is yes. And he answered and said, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Have you not read that? So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. And that is Jesus' answer. No, it is not lawful for you to divorce your wife for any reason at all. God intends for you to stay together for life. Verse 7, they said to him, "Why then did Moses command to give to her a certificate of divorce and send her away?" He said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it has not been this way." And then Jesus said in verse 9, "And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for immorality, that is fornication, and marries another woman commits adultery." And so the idea is that unless you divorce your wife because she's guilty of sexual sin outside the marriage, then you and she will be involved in adultery if you marry again after the divorce. Romans 7, 2 and 3, "For the married woman is bound by law to her husband while he is living. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law concerning the husband. So then, if while her husband is living, she is joined to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is not an adulteress, though she is joined to another man." So, it is adultery to be joined to another man while the husband is living that God has bound you to for life, unless you divorced your husband for fornication. Luke 16 and verse 18, everyone who divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery. And he who marries one who is divorced from a husband commits adultery. Matthew 5:32, but I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except for the reason of unchastity or fornication, makes her commit adultery, that is, if she marries another. And whoever marries a divorced woman, one divorced from a husband she is bound to for life, commits adultery. So that is the will of Jesus in regard to marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Unless we divorce our spouse for the cause of sexual sin, having sexual relations outside of marriage, then we will be called an adulterer by God if we enter another marriage, and they will be called that if they enter another marriage. So it is a serious matter regarding marriage. It's a lifelong relationship that God intends, the one flesh relationship. And it is designed for the good of humanity, the stability of the home. If possible, we should choose a faithful Christian to marry. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14, do not be bound together with unbelievers. Or what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Yes, we ought to seek the faithful Christian who is being transformed by the Word of God instead of being corrupted by the world. Romans 12 and verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And perfect. So we ought to think on those lines. Again, we are to flee fornication in all situations, including courtship. It is the practice among many today that it's okay to commit fornication even before you are married. If you are committed to one another already in your mind. But this is not the will of God. Only in scriptural marriage are we able to engage in sexual relations without sin. 1 Corinthians 6:18, beginning, flee immorality, flee fornication. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body, that is, the blood of Jesus. We have been bought, redeemed from sin, forgiven of sin, to become slaves of God, not of fornication. Now concerning the things about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to touch a woman, to have sexual relations with her, but because of immoralities, fornications, sexual sin, each man is to have his own wife, and each woman is to have her own husband. The husband must fulfill his duty to his wife, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does, and likewise also the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Stop depriving one another. except by agreement for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer and come together again, so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. And so, instead of getting into situations where we are together privately and fornication becomes a possibility, we should avoid those situations and pray to God to help strengthen us to fight against and escape from temptation. Matthew 26:41, keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, Jesus told his disciples. 2 Timothy 2:22, now flee from youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on we don't have the full verse, but we will correct it in the handout and in this lesson before we upload it. 1 Corinthians 10:12, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. So, with God's help, we can escape temptation even in courtship if we take those precautions. Being alone with members of the opposite sex, where uncontrolled kissing, embracing, and other actions may lead to fornication, we need to avoid that. Parties that promote dancing, leading to sexual arousal, pornography, sexually explicit text and social media posts, and other improper communications, all of these things need to be avoided so that we might pursue righteousness, godliness, love, purity, faith, how God would have us live. Then we are to display holiness, orderliness, bashfulness, self-restraint, and godliness in our clothing, which is something the world does not care about. They believe exposing as much of the human body, especially the female body, before the public, especially before males, is what should be done. And they have no problem. Even Christians have been corrupted by this mentality of objectifying the human body, and as long as there is just lust, it doesn't matter, as long as there's nothing else. But we are not to be promoting and endorsing and prompting others to have these type of lustful behaviors. 1 Timothy 2:8, therefore I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and dissension. Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, and not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women making a claim to godliness. So So what is he talking about here? We are to dress as children of God would dress, that we may be holy, set apart for God's service. Romans 12:1-2, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And so we are to have that attitude regarding dress. We are to dress, have proper dress or orderly dress, modest clothing that is arranged well and in an orderly way, not in a loose or slovenly way or a provocative way. 1 Timothy 3:2, an overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate and prudent, which is the word orderly or proper, respectable, hospitable, able to teach. Or the word respectable there is the word that is orderly. Then we must be modestly or bashfully dressed, with bashfulness, propriety, that is, with shamefacedness, is the idea. And it comes from the New King James Version, Hebrews 12:28, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Reverence and godly fear. And so we are to dress not with the intention of promoting lustful behavior from others by displaying the human body in a way to arouse sexual desires, but that we fear God and we want to please God and present a meek and quiet spirit before others, because we are servants of God above all. With discretion, discreetly, and self-restraint, moderation, again, looking not to promote lust, but to promote the will of God. Matthew 5:27, Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Then 2 Timothy 2:22, I think we have the full passage here that we will copy to the other slide where it was missing, and make that handout available from BibleSearch.com, the website that goes along with our Bible Search YouTube channel. 2 Timothy 2:22, now flee from youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Fleeing one thing and pursuing another thing. Fleeing sin, including youthful lust, leading to fornication, and pursuing how God would have us live. We are to learn that the deeper love will help you overcome problems in marriage. A love not just based upon physical attraction, but 1 Corinthians 13:4-7, love is patient, long-suffering. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly and does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Yes, this is a type of love that we are to have when there are arguments in marriage. Ephesians 4:25, therefore laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not give the devil an opportunity. And so, these fights that we may have, we are to not let the sun go down upon our anger. Quickly settle things and go to God, repenting of our sins and asking for forgiveness from God and being willing to forgive each other as we repent of those sins. Ephesians 4:31 and 32, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. And so we need to think about these things. And if we are having arguments with those whom we are going to marry, and there are bitter, long fights, then this may not be the best course for us to take in choosing a lifelong mate, lifelong spouse. If one or the other does not know how to forgive, then we may not be the type of spouse that will be a blessing to someone in a scriptural marriage. We need to work on that before we make that commitment. Marriage is the normal course of life for most men and women. Become and live as a Christian. This is the best preparation for marriage. Develop godly friends so that faith may be strengthened. Maybe from that pool of friends there will come that lifelong spouse. Learn to provide for your future family. Flee fornication and pursue scriptural courtship and lifelong marriage. Display holiness, orderliness, bashfulness, self-restraint, and godliness in our clothing. Learn that the deeper love will help you overcome problems in marriage. And that is some of what needs to be taught, and there are other things to be sure, but that is what we have in mind in this lesson. And we would encourage all parents to focus upon these things, to guide children into preparing for that relationship that, if followed in the Word of God, will bring glory to God and a pleasure to the parents, as well as the community, the church, and the nation. We're going to stop there today and look forward to Lesson 9, Living Single, which we hope to bring, God willing, next week as we continue this series on the home. And we encourage all today to respond to the gospel before it is ever too late. Or whenever you may hear this message, we would encourage you to look in Acts chapters 2 and 8 to see how people became Christians. We read in those instances that when they heard about Jesus living the perfect life and dying for our sins, God coming in the flesh, the Son of God, to die for our sins and being raised on the third day, and ascending to the right hand of God, where he is ruling as king and interceding for us as high priest, even until now. When they believed this, they turned to God, repented of their sins, changed their mind. We will do the will of God and turn from our sins, confess that faith in Jesus as the Son of God, and were baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of their sins. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit, combining together to bring salvation to the world. That is how they became Christians, and that is how all must become Christians today if we are going to be forgiven of our sins and have that hope of eternal life. Then they continued, Acts 2:41 through the end of the chapter, to abide in the apostles' teaching, worshiping and working together with those of the same faith, not following denominational traditions or the traditions of anybody else that conflicted with the Word of God, but simply being Christians, members of Jesus' saved body, Jesus' church. They went forward, learning to live the Christian life and worship as God intended for them to do. When we sin, though, as we often do as Christians, we are called upon to repent of those sins and pray to God that He may continue to forgive us through the blood of Jesus, acknowledging those sins before Him. Acts 8, verse 18 through 24, 1 John chapter 1, going into chapter 2, and the first two verses. We would encourage all to respond to the gospel. Even now, before it is too late, if you would call, text, or email us, we would be glad to communicate with you, even study with you by Zoom and answer your questions and go deeper into this subject with you, as today we draw our lesson to a close.